I'm going to start with the interesting, then go to the urgent and the uncertain. Last week, as you remember, we met Joseph. Joseph is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel. And as you remember, Joseph became quite powerful in the house of Pharaoh, and he saved the whole nation and his own people. But over time, God's promise that Joseph's family would become as many as the stars. Remember, God had made that promise. Your generations will be as many as the stars. That promise became a problem for the rulers of Egypt over time. Over time, the pharaohs felt the need to start to control these resident aliens. They had a need to manage them, to treat them as property. So by the time Moses is born, the Hebrew people are enslaved. And when Moses is born, it is a time of a pogrom, when the Pharaoh is killing off all firstborn children again. But Moses' mother is very clever, and she finds a way to make sure that Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh, totally safe. Moses has a princess for a mother then. But he has to leave that life of privilege ultimately because he murders an overseer. He murders an Egyptian who is abusing the Hebrew people, their slaves. But God lures Moses back. God tells Moses, if you'll just say yes, we together will free the people from whom you come. God and Moses give Pharaoh many opportunities to make the right choice. But after 9 cycles of saying, Pharaoh, let the people free, and Moses saying, and Pharaoh saying no, after 9 cycles of rejection and plague, God says there will be one more plague. And this will be the final plague. And it will be a plague, a virus, that kills all of the firstborn sons, just as you, Pharaoh, have done so many times. But before God is willing to take that last and final step, God needs to hear from more people than just Moses. He needs to know that more people than just Moses will say yes to liberation. He needs the Hebrew people to publicly mark themselves and proclaim themselves allegiant to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and Moses. And so we have this elaborate feast with meat prepared in a very specific way, and unleavened bread, and then the blood on the lintel, the blood on the doorframe. But that's not the only way that the Hebrews ultimately mark themselves as different. You also heard Phil read that they remade the calendar. They created a whole new calendar year. There was a new first month for a new year, a whole new way of marking time for the new life that they are about to go into. And so they flee and leave behind all of God's destruction. Here's the interesting part, I think. Scholarship suggests that these two feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast with the Meats, existed long before any kind of liberation celebration. One, they don't know much about the unleavened feast, but the suggestion is that the feast with the meats was actually a practice of shepherds as they went out into the fields to ward off danger. So the idea is that over time the Hebrew people brought those two feasts together to mark this liberation from God, or some kind of liberation from God. After some kind of new understanding of God's power in the world, they blended the stories and created a new holy day. Think about it like us celebrating Christmas in December and having Christmas trees. Both of those practices come from much older religious traditions. They come from religious traditions that celebrated the winter solstice and brought greeneries into the home in anticipation of spring. Now, both those practices, December 25th, and boughs and ivy, are integral to who we are as Christians, but they didn't come to us with Jesus in the manger. Unlike the ancient Hebrews, we didn't create a new calendar. We just took over the old one. I think that's interesting. But the beginning of the Exodus isn't just about a bunch of curiosities. God says to the people, too, "This is how you are to eat, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat in haste." How many of you this week ate one meal in your car or at your desk at work? How many of you ate more than one in your car or in your desk at work? We know how to do some hasty eating these days. But that's not the kind of haste that God is describing. This isn't the haste of a busy schedule or us choosing to have a packed calendar. God is trying to prepare them to take life-saving action. Because the Hebrew people aren't going to just mosey out of Egypt at a time appointed by a planning committee as they deal with camel trouble, the delays of that, and little tots who won't put on their sandals. No. At any moment, even in this last moment of their last settled meal, everything could change. Everything will change. So don't let your clothing slow you down. You are going to have to run away from the evil that is profiting from your captivity. And you won't be able to carry out anything except the people that you love. So carbo load and get ready to go. Go where? God and Moses haven't plotted out some coordinates. They haven't done advance work to secure affordable housing for everyone. They're just fleeing. The flight is all that matters. Where they are going is uncertain, but it has to be better than where they are. Interesting, urgent, and uncertain. Now, I have to work Pledge Sunday into this sermon. It's the hope of our financial stewardship team that by next week, who's on financial stewardship? Who's here? Raise your hands. So we've got Jim, Phil's on it de facto as moderator, Janet Binder, Larry Treaty, you're here, so there's Larry, there's our chair, Terry. It's their hope that by next week, each of us will have made some kind of financial commitment to 2017's budget and to the work we do in this church in the next calendar year. So let me say this. I think Ames UCC is a very interesting place because despite our traditions and our appearance of being old-fashioned, we are a place that prepares for urgency and uncertainty. Now, I already alluded to the notion that the Exodus may not have happened at all. Certainly no evidence has ever emerged from the massive information we have about ancient Egypt. Nothing has ever emerged to say that any part of this story happened as it was described. And yet, despite that limited facticity, the Passover story remains intensely relevant and true. Think of all the times people who are Jewish have had to prepare to flee and then flee. Spain, Russia, Germany. Think about Black people in the American South. Their freedom didn't come overnight, but the accounts of escape sound a lot like this. Be ready. Watch for the sign. And now the stories that we hear coming out of Syria of refugees as they wait for the signal of a smuggler's boat, again, sounds very familiar. Now, I don't think many of us sitting here in central Iowa in this church on a Sunday morning will likely find ourselves in that position anytime soon. But I wonder if there's something in our deep genetics, our deep collective consciousness, that insists we continue to tell stories like this. just in case. Just in case we might have to bolt, we have a story to help us explain how and why. Just in case we have been people who, like Moses, turned his back on the pain that he didn't think was any of his own business, but eventually turned around, eventually came back to a space of screaming pain to offer help, even though he didn't know where it might lead him, even though we don't know where it might lead us. We have a story to help take us there. If Ames United Church of Christ has for you been more than a place of interesting information, but one that has prepared you for the undiscovered country that is the future, please make a pledge. Because in truth, there is no just in case. In truth, we are already complicit with, in proximity to, and caught up in all kinds of slaveries. But if Moses the murderer could partner with God, we can tuck our cloaks into our belts, fortify our bodies at Christ's table, and be ready to follow God's urgent leading away from bondage and toward the wide open, uncertain wilderness that is freedom. Amen.